Well, good morning, church. It's good to see you today. We're glad that you made it. It's good to be together. It's good to remember our shared confession. Praise God. To thank Him for everything. And to renew our faith, our love, and our energy for service in His kingdom. So I'm glad that you are here. I'd like to share this morning from Colossians chapter 1. A few of us read this Wednesday night, and I think it's just a fantastic view of Jesus and reminds us about our reason. Colossians 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So today, as we worship, as we sing, as we fellowship, as we commune, let's keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds and our souls focused solely on the One who died for our sins, on the One who allowed us to be presented blameless before our Father in heaven. Let's go to Him in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are Your children through our confession and the blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we are grateful that our sins have been forgiven, that You have written our names in the book of life, that we have passed out of death and have been included into a new chapter, an eternal kingdom. We recognize and confess that Jesus is the name above all names, that His is the eternal throne and the eternal rule. We recognize, Father, that all things in heaven and on earth belong to You. And we confess that we, as a part of that, are Yours as well. We thank You for Your love, for Your mercy, that has changed our lives, that has given us every good gift. And Father, we pray that You increase our faith. We pray that we will remember each and every day who we are and what You have made us. Father, we are grateful to be blameless before You, and we pray that You fill us with Your Holy Spirit so that we may walk in that light each and every day. Father, we're grateful for today. We're grateful for today because You have made it good. You have allowed us to come together. And I pray, Lord, that our spiritual sacrifice will be pleasing to You. I pray, Lord, that we will focus ourselves on Your will. I pray that You bless our fellowship with peace and with love. I pray, Father, that You fill our hearts and make us all our days worshipers of you and your glory. Father, we love you with all that we have. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Start out this morning with Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How He loves me, how I love Him. He is coming, Lord, come quickly. Song before prayer, pure in heart, O God. Purer in heart, O God. Help.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 15. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body than at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer to those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for allowing us the chance to come together this morning to lift your name up and to remember your son. God, we ask as we do so in a manner that glorifies you, and that we take what happens today and we use it for your glory to be a light to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tell me the story of Jesus. This will be our song before communion. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang. sing as they welcome his word. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell
Everybody got their little dilly? All right. I'm going to read from today 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. I think a lot of time we spend time at the Lord's Supper, we think about the suffering and the death. and that's important. We need to think about that. But I think we also need to think about the fact that this is a celebration feast as well. It's a time to rejoice because Christ was resurrected from the dead, overcoming death so that we can. So I want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to read 1 through 11 now. And then I'll read on before we take the blood. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, in which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I have preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Let's remember the celebration of the resurrection of Christ together before we take the flesh. Our God and Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you so much that he was willing to come down and die and take our punishment for us. But more so, we celebrate and praise your name that you brought him back to life, that you overcame death through your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can overcome death through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he was raised, Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for this blood, this cleansing potion that sprung from the body of your Son. We thank you so much for the life we have in it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray for the offering now. Our God and Father, we thank you for just everything that you give us. We thank you for giving us the things that we have to sing about and the things that we have to shout about and the things that we have joy about and the things that maybe sometimes try us, but it's what builds our character and our faith in you. We thank you for all of those things. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to give what we can. We thank you, Lord, that this money is used to keep this church going. We thank you for those that are in charge of deciding what happens with it, and we pray, Lord, that you accept our offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love, wonderful.
though you are far away, wonderful story of love, still heed a call today, calling from Calvary's mountain, down from the crystal bright fountain, eat from the dawn of creation, wonderful story of love, wonderful, 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 wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love. Jesus provides a rest, wonderful story of love for all the pure and blessed. Rest in those mansions above us with those who've gone on before us, singing the rapturous chorus. Wonderful story of love.
Church, I'm just thinking about what a wonderful blessing it is to know that God made everything out of love. Not just Jesus, but everything. He made it out of love. And the more that we understand that His gift of creation, His story is a story of love. Everything that He has provided for us. From the air that we breathe, of the life that we live, for the Son that He sent, for the home that He prepares. God loves you. God loves you. You are loved. As the enemy tries to separate you, isolate you, and make your heart cold, you focus dearly on God's love. Because nothing can separate you from that love. The enemy will try to convince you otherwise. And if you don't hold on to your faith till the end, just like we read, what was the point of believing in the first place? Hold on to your faith. Hold tightly. Hold tightly. Let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get in the Word this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for a beautiful day. We thank You for the opportunity to recognize You. Father, we are humbled before Your throne. We recognize Your authority. We recognize the love that You have shown us. And we recognize, Lord, that it is all grace, mercy, and a gift. We know that we don't deserve to be treated so well by You. We don't deserve to receive every spiritual blessing from heaven. We don't deserve to be a part of Your eternal kingdom, to have treasures ready for us forever. But Father, in Your mercy and in Your love, that's what You have provided. Blessed be Your name. Father, as we take a closer look at Jesus today, my prayer is that we see You clear enough to hold on to our faith. My prayer is that we will recognize and understand that You are the only thing worth living for. That You are the source of all good things. That nothing else that will stand against You has a chance. Father, we ask that You open our ears today. We ask that You fill us with Your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God's Word instructs us to have an answer ready for others about our hope. The great thing about that answer is that it strengthens our hope and encourages us as well. Because you can't be ready to give an answer to someone else without feeling that strength and that hope yourself. And so specifically in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter writes to the church about this very thing, about always being ready to provide an answer, to explain to people how you can live your life with such hope, to explain to people why it is you won't give up, why it is you won't debase yourself to live in a way that others around you are living. And so Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So Peter tells us that we are to do good and pursue peace. To do good and pursue peace. Not just sit back and enjoy peace, but to pursue peace. In fact, we like to sing the song, Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Not just recipients of your peace, but make us active instruments in bringing the peace of God into the lives of others and into the world around us. That's what we're called to do. That's who we are called to be. We're reminded there in verse 12 that God stays open to the righteous. God stays open to the righteous, and he is against evildoers. It's kind of one of our biggest battles, isn't it, when we see what we perceive as evil having the upper hand? It's one of the things that we struggle with when we look around us and we see things that just aren't right. We see things that are not just. We see things that are not righteous. And we sometimes get scared because we think, well, what is God doing with all of this evil being allowed to run rampant? What is God doing to allow bad things to happen to so many people? What is God doing in that so few people actually see his face? Makes us nervous, doesn't it? Makes us nervous. And in our heart of hearts, we don't like to admit it. We don't like to say it out loud. But it creeps in. It creeps in. I mean, I want to make the confession. I want to hold on to my faith that God really is in control. I want to hold on to my faith and know that all of this is, well, that he knows what he's doing. I mean, what we like to say is, well, it's all according to God's plan, right? That it's all going to work out for good. But we forget that even Christ's suffering was a part of that plan. That even Christ dying was a part of God's plan to bring good to his children. That's a harder part of the plan to accept, isn't it? Yeah. But Peter even says it here. He says it's better to suffer for doing good, if that's God's will, than for doing evil. Church, what I want us to hear this morning is that God is on our side. God is on our side. Now, do not fall for the trap to looking around at your present condition, your present circumstances, or any present suffering and saying, I'm having a bad day. How can God possibly be on my side? Do not fall for that trap. Do not fall for that lie. Having God on our side does not make us immune to life. Having God on our side does not shield or protect us from this life that we live, from the life that others live, from the pain and suffering of loss and of death and of sin. So we will suffer. We will experience difficult things. We will experience hardships. But God is for us. And Peter says here in verse 14 and 15, since God is on our side, have no fear of them. Michael, it's just getting so bad around us and there's so much evil around. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Have no fear. Welcome to us in the here right now, huh? We've been living a year full of fear. A year full of fear. Are we having no fear? Are we still living without fear? Or has it crept in? Are we nervous? Are we scared? Have no fear. Don't be troubled. Well, how am I going to do that? How am I going to live my life without fear? Well, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. That is, you set Jesus Christ apart from everything else and above everything else. And in fact, in His glory and in His light, everything else finds its proper perspective. That Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what matters. That's what matters. Okay, well, what difference is that going to make? Well, be prepared to make a defense. Prepare your defense. Because if you live your life with Jesus Christ set apart as holy, if you live your life without fear, then others are going to say, well, what? What's going on with you? What's going on with you? Now, is it any wonder that Peter has to remind us to do this with gentleness? Right? Because you've seen the same videos that I've seen. You've seen the same videos that I've seen. I just take this last year as a case study. Any differences of opinion with fear or not fear, what does it devolve into? Anger. Harsh words. Right? Well, you have your opinion, I'll have my opinion. Just leave me alone and I'll leave you alone. God's word says to do it with gentleness. Gentleness. I don't have to be afraid because of the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. I don't want you to be afraid because I want you to have that same hope. Now, I'm not going to allow your fear to take away my hope. And I hope that someday you'll find my hope. But at the same time, we're not going to fight about it. We're not going to argue about it. I'm just going to share. And if I have to suffer for that, for doing good, so be it. It's better than suffering for doing wrong. He just wrapped it up right there, didn't he? He did. Well, this defense that we offer, all right, what's that look like? What's the defense that I actually need to offer other people? If they actually notice your lack of fear, the fact that you regard Jesus as more authoritative in your life than any other person. What does that look like? What defense will you provide? Well, let's turn over to John chapter 5 because Jesus gives us an answer for the hope. And it pretty clearly here in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, let's go down to verse 19. Jesus is in trouble in this chapter. He healed someone on the Sabbath day. And it says there on 18, well, in verse 17, when they're asking him, how can you possibly do work on the Sabbath? And in verse 17, he says, well, my father's working until now, and I'm still working. And then in verse 18, it tells us that the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking their Sabbath rules, but he was in fact calling God his father, making himself equal to God. We can't have that. You are a false prophet. You are a man walking among us, and you are saying that you are God. We can't have that. So he says in verse 19, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and he shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Truly I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Church, what is our answer to the hope that we have in our hearts? We believe and we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is our confession. And what does that actually mean? What does it matter that we believe in Jesus and not another man? What does it matter that we believe in Jesus and not another God? What does it mean? We believe in Jesus Christ because of the two things right here that he says in John chapter 5. Jesus has life. Jesus has life in his hands, and that's what he gives to us as a gift. That's why we believe. He has the gift of life. And second, we believe because he has the authority of judgment. Jesus has life and the authority of judgment. What else do we need? What else do we need? Jesus is the one who provides eternal life, and Jesus is the one who will determine on that final day how judgment will end up for every person. Sounds like enough, doesn't it? Sounds like enough. Jesus has given me life here. Life that we enjoy here in the flesh, in creation. And then Jesus has provided for us life, a new creation that allows us to not end. That Jesus will be the voice that we hear after we have fallen asleep. He will be the one to wake us up. He will be the one to execute judgment on everyone. No one's going to escape. No one's going to escape. You may escape those who would bring difficulties to you in this life. You may not escape those who would bring difficulties to you in this life. You might suffer. You might live easy. And you might live through pain. But in the end, everyone will face the Son of God. Such great and terrible authority drive our hearts to honor him. Knowing who Jesus is humbles us before him. Gives us enough faith to believe him. Jesus Christ is Lord of all living and dead. In Revelation chapter 22, near the very end, Jesus says this in verse 12. Revelation 22:12. He says, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Jesus was before all of us, and Jesus will be after all of us. How can you not humbly bow the knee and confess with your mouths that Jesus is Lord? Without him, none of us would be here. And in the end, it's his word. It's his word. He has the final word. He has the final say. It doesn't matter how much we try to rage against it. It doesn't matter how many alternative theories that people come up with in their wisp of a life of a few years here in the flesh. It doesn't matter how brilliant we think we are. It doesn't matter how much we think we have figured out. Jesus has the final say. Which is why, you know, at the end of chapter 20, I love the fact in verse 12, when seeing all the dead that are woken up, the books are open. The books are open. And these books are all the things that we have done. All the things that we have done. Opened up, and Jesus has access to all of these things. And yet John has shown that there's another book. Another book. The book of life. The book of life. The book that our names have been written in blood. And it is the book of life that matters. It's the book of life that trumps the deeds of good and evil. Because it is the book of life, really, is the only book that matters. Because when our life, if our life, on judgment day was held up to any kind of inspection, we would be in trouble. And all those who will stand before the judge, all of those who will stand before Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, everyone who stands before him having their deeds written in those two books of here's the good you have done and here's the bad you have done. What people don't understand and what all the theology of the New Testament is that any bad trumps any good. You're not going to be able to weigh, oh, hey, I did more good than bad because of that other book. That other book, the book of life. That is the book that matters. That is the book that says Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ added you by mercy into his family, into eternity. That's the book that matters. Why do we have hope? Why do we have hope? Because Jesus Christ has given us life. We have hope because Jesus Christ has the final word. There will be a judgment. Everything's being recorded. Everything's being recorded. But Jesus has put our names in his book, the book of life. So we have hope. We have hope. I should have to answer for my deeds. I should have to answer for my deeds. All of those deeds I did before becoming a Christian. All the deeds I've done since becoming a Christian. All the ways in which I have missed the mark of his perfection. I deserve to answer for all those things. Justice demands it. Justice demands it. Because justice is not just necessary between nations and wars and big things like that. Justice demands that I answer for my deeds personally. Justice demands that I owe for every ill word that I have spoken to someone else. For every time I have seen less than God's glory in the face or the lives of someone that God has created. and I have thought bad about them, and I have said bad things to them or about them. I have been less than kind, less than merciful. I, having received mercy and yet not extending mercy, I deserve to have my name in those books and every deed read out loud. And yet Jesus has put my name in his book, the book of life. And Scripture tells us that we have passed out of death and out of judgment into life. Jesus paid the price for my sins. He went to the cross for me. And he went to the cross for you. And he went to the cross for everyone. And he says, you have got to believe this. This is what you have to believe, that I paid the price for you. If you don't believe it, then you do not benefit from it. Chester read for us from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are always of good courage. Church, because you have an answer to anyone who asks about the hope that has been given to you by Jesus Christ, we are always courageous. We're not living in fear. We're walking by faith. We are always courageous. Well, Michael, I'm not always courageous. I get scared sometimes. Well, take a closer look at Jesus. Be reminded. Church, it's why we're here. It's why we talk to each other. It's why we pray for each other. It's why we encourage each other. Because sometimes we lose our courage, don't we? Whatever it is, sometimes we get scared. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we've been living days or weeks or even months where Jesus has not been regarded as holy in our hearts. We've not set him above everything else. We are guilty of putting other things above Jesus, aren't we? And we know what it looks like. We know what it feels like. It makes us nervous. It makes us nervous. In fact, it's a wonderful test. It's a wonderful test for our faith, about how your faith is. How nervous are you? How scared are you? Because if we regard Christ, our Lord, as holy, if he and all that he has said and all that he has done is the most important, the driving force within our lives, then all we have is courage. Then all we have is courage, because fear melts away. Fear melts away in the face of Jesus. When God is on your side, what can man do to you? What effect can man do to you? What consequence can he give to you that has any lasting effect? None. None. So we are of good courage. And we know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. We are walking by faith. We are walking by faith, not by sight. We haven't seen it yet. We will. We believe the witnesses that Tony read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That Paul would say, look, we have seen. And not just we, 500 people. He died, he was buried, and he came back. He came back, and he is sitting on his throne, ruling. He's sitting on his throne, ruling. Church, do not be those who are so nearsighted as to look at the world around you and what appears to be chaos and say, well, how can this possibly be the rule of Christ? How can this possibly be the rule of Christ? Hey, here's how. You ever been embarrassed by your kids' actions? No one? Our kids have embarrassed us, haven't they? In fact, our kids have said and done things, and that's just, you know, within the confines and safety of our own homes, that someone would come in and see or hear and go, and what do we start to do? They're not usually like this. Kids, get over here. Show them you're not usually like this. Right? Yeah, exactly. Pat them on the head. Be nice. Be nice. Shh. Don't act like we normally act. So if your kids have ever said anything or done anything that is embarrassing to you, does that mean that you don't love them? When your kids make a mistake, do something wrong, treat someone bad, does that mean that you don't love them at that moment or at any time? That you're just done? That you just wash your hands of them? No, it does not, does it? So when we look around at the chaos that has been created by sin in God's good creation, how dare we look up to Him and say, God, I thought you loved us. He sure does. He sure does. Will His kids still run around and create chaos? Yeah. Will your kids still dirty up a room that you cleaned 20 minutes ago? Yeah. Will your kids get in trouble, make bad decisions, make mistakes, even after you already told them? Not once, but if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. And yet they will make mistakes, will they not? And we will love them. And they'll get bigger. And they'll make more serious mistakes. And we will love them. And God is looking down at His creation, and He is saying, I love them all. I want them to figure it out and to know what makes for life. But I love them all. How dare you and I look at those unruly children and say, phew, Father doesn't love them. Those who have His face shining upon us in righteousness should have the same love and mercy that Jesus had for all of us when He went to Calvary. He had pity on us. Because we couldn't fix it ourselves. And so He went to the cross. He suffered so that we might live. He died so that we could have life. And a church that makes a difference in this world is a church that has an answer for the hope that is within us. A church that makes a difference in the world around us, in our homes and in our schools and at our work and with our neighbors, is a church that has an answer for why we're not scared, for why we can be merciful, why we can forgive and give others another chance. A church who refuses to live by the popular saying of, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Instead, a church who is willing to say, it is not I who live, yet Christ who lives in me. That church will make a difference. That church will be faithful to our Lord and Savior. He has life and He has judgment. So we must walk before Him in all humility. We must remind ourselves, our hearts, every single day that Jesus is Lord. We have made the confession for our own salvation, and we make the confession for the good of others, so that they too may hear about the hope that we have. And in case you're worried about it, or in case you are wondering, I'll ask the kids. Kids, have you ever done something and heard daddy's footsteps down the hall? You know, it went a little too far and someone's crying. And you're going, shh, 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 stop crying, stop crying, stop crying. Don't tell dad. Don't tell dad. I'll give you my dessert. Here, you take the toy, you take the toy. We're fine, we're fine. Yeah, we've been there too, haven't we? Yeah, we have. I know. I know. Well, here's the good news. Footsteps are coming down the hall. Jesus is coming back. And it will be a great and a terrible day. So share the hope that you have. Because you have received mercy. and those around us, those poor wretches who are still dead in their sin, they need to receive mercy as well. So always have an answer. Always be hopeful. Jesus is Lord. Let them know why you can make that confession. And church, this morning, if you need any prayers of strength, if you need any encouragement, we are here to pray with you. If you are not a Christian and you need to have that life and pass out of judgment that Jesus offers through his sacrifice, we invite you to come. Let's stand together and sing.
Come to Jesus, he will save you. Know your sins as crimson glow. If you give your heart to Jesus, he will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to
We have a few announcements this morning. I mean, it's whatever. I'm glad that you're all here, but we have a few announcements before we close out. So my mom's dad finally got called home, so we'll praise God that his suffering's over. But my mom flew down there to Missouri, and she'll be back next Wednesday. So prayers for safe travels and just peace on their hearts and just let them mourn together. Kirsten's nephew, he had some complications, and he's currently healing, so he's still in the womb, but we need to pray that he gets healed up. And some of the Elims have a sinus infection, not the ones here, but some of them have a sinus infection, so pray that they get cleared up. And next Sunday at 5 p.m., we're going to have a Super Bowl party here, so just bring finger foods, I guess, and just be there. And then Gary Cash has been sick, and he's feeling a little bit better, but his voice is still gone, so we pray that he gets healed up and gets recovered. Is there any other announcements that need to be made? If not, will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful Sunday morning to come together and worship you and praise you, Lord. We thank you for all the many blessings you provided. Lord, we thank you that you called Poppy home and that you ended us suffering, Lord. And we pray that Mom has safe travels to Missouri and back, Lord. And just give peace to their family's hearts. We pray for Kirsten's nephew and we pray that you heal him up and make sure everything's okay. And give them peace that they'll know that he'll be better. Lord, we pray for the Elims and their sinus infections. Just clear them up, Lord, and help them feel better. And we pray for Gary, and we pray that you heal him up as well. Help him feel better with how he's been feeling sick, and just help him recover quick. We pray that you be with us through the rest of this week and through the rest of our lives, Lord. We pray that we all take something that we heard this morning and keep it on our hearts, Lord. And we pray that we're with you every step of the way. It's all in your name we pray. Amen.